Yeah, it's really coming out establishing myself, you know, really just showing these guys, you know, I'm ready to come and play. I'm ready to come and try to help this organization win football games. And, you know, that's the main goal why they drafted me here. So, you know, that's what I'm willing to come show my teammates and, you know, everybody else. So that's what I'm trying to get out of this, you know, come play some good football and, you know, I hope to have some good results about it.
Dalvin Cook, Vikings, highly touted and potentially starting running back, depending on how training camp shakes out.
But yes, he is.
It's an open competition. It's not even, I think a lot of coaches would say, yeah, Latavius Murray is going to be the starter and then Dalvin Cook's the backup. That's how it was 10 years ago when Adrian Peterson came to camp and Chester Taylor was the starter and Adrian Peterson was the backup for Brad Childress. But then after about 5 minutes, he broke the NFL's single game rushing record.
And both these guys will play a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And if Dalvin Cook, is your first and second down guy, Murray plays on third down, and Cook it can be freed up to return kicks, be fine with that. Like this whole, I've always found this position to be a funny one when you get into these great debates of who's the starter, who get. If you look at how the league works now, you both get plenty of carries. And one of you is probably, or both of you at some point in the season are going to get hurt. So like this whole thing of like Dalvin Cook has to be the man in this league now, he can be the man and Murray will play a lot.
Actually, if you want to go down that path,
it's a silly argument.
If you're able to not carry the ball 350 times, you probably play longer and you probably make more money. You make more money carrying 200 to 250 times because you're going to be around longer than if you were to be a bell cow and carry 350 times, which doesn't really exist anymore. So, all right, here's the path that we should go down. Let's say the Vikings, let's say Mike Zimmer is right in what he's been saying leading into training camp, that he thinks it's really more of that 11-5 team that we saw 2 years ago. And last year was kind of an aberration and a million things happened. You had turmoil and a coach with one eye and your quarterback goes down before the season.
Your tackles got hurt.
Yeah, just everything that could go wrong, you know, with the exception of your dome collapsing, took place last year. So let's take him and let's go down this path. If the Vikings are to go back to 11-5 and winning a division and maybe make some noise in the playoffs, what does that path look like? What are three things that will have had to have happened if they get to that 11-5 mark and making noise in the playoffs?
The most important one to me is the fact that Bradford will earn himself a rich, lucrative, long-term extension.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford, as we've talked about a bunch, is being given every opportunity to succeed here, but he becomes the most important piece. And it doesn't mean he has to be great, but it means he has to be very good. That's one to me. Two, offensive line. Your offensive line last year was a train wreck. It was awful. It was not acceptable. You don't need this offensive line to be great to look like it's great after last year. You need this offensive line to be solid. And if the offensive line is solid, it's going to benefit the run game in Bradford. Here's where I'm torn on three on defense. I've got two things here, and I'm not sure which one I think is most important. Anthony Barr reemerging into being the player that we thought he was before last year, or nickel corner. I can't decide because the nickel corner conversation to me is probably a conversation about what was potentially the biggest oversight by the team in not necessarily getting a steady player.
I think it's Barr.
Alexander and Newman will battle for that job. Terrence is going to be 39, right?
Sure.
So he's no kid. Alexander, I mean, they've said that he's improved and that he's learned and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, you also go back to if Anthony Barr goes back to being the player that he was previously, because he's a guy 2 years back, I said, is the linchpin to the success of this defense, and he disappeared in 2016.
I would say, and yeah, Anthony Barr to me, I'll take the guy. I think you can, to some degree, you can teach a somewhat talented young cornerback how to not be a disaster in the slot. Now, I'm not saying it's like a position that you can just, there's some positions in sports where you can kind of just mold a guy, put him out like a shop blocker in the end, just, okay,
sure. Well,
just go be good at one thing.
Yes.
So I'm not saying it's super easy, but the thing you can't teach is Anthony Barr wreaking havoc in the backfield, wreaking havoc and tallying 10 sacks and 3 forced fumbles. And like, that's something that you don't have that on your team unless he's that. I mean, Danielle Hunter could be that too, but a slightly different position. So I would say the three things that will have to have happened to get to 11-5. If you look back and say, all right, well, here are the boxes that I would check. I took a slightly different approach.
Sure.
Sam Bradford will have to have career year numbers in third down efficiency, in probably overall passing yards and touchdowns, more just by staying healthy and volume. He'll have to play 16 games, or at least 15 games. He'll have to play pretty much the whole season. Otherwise, Case Keenum is going to be out there, and then you're not going to win 11 games. Career year, third downs, career year, overall passing, touchdowns, all the figures that you would look and say across the board, huge step forward for Sam Bradford. Number two, I would say the Vikings defense will have to have decidedly been one of the top 3 to 5 defenses in the league. So yards per play, points per game allowed, turnover margin, all those things. If it's not measurably a top 3 to 5 defense, you're not winning 11 games. Unless your offense goes bonkers, like the 1998 Vikings kind of came out of nowhere and they added Randy Moss.
You're right.
And then the third thing, I would say minimal Mike Zimmer / locker room problems or drama. So Mike Zimmer has to have 53 guys hanging by every word. He has to have no medical issues that knock him away from practice and prevent him from flying with the team and things like that. If those three things, if you check those three boxes and look at the end of the year, I do think it's much more likely they finish either atop the division, 10-6, 11-5, and are able to make some noise in the playoffs.
So the most important thing becomes this. At the end of this season, if Bridgewater is a non-factor, it's a positive. If in December we're like, well, they should play him again, or when can he come back, there's a problem. If you are a Viking fan, you need to be hoping that having Teddy on this roster is a luxury, and you also have to hope that if he doesn't play again, it's not a huge deal. Because if you're a fan of this team and you think that this team can be as successful as possible, you want the Vikings to get done with their year, go to Bradford and say, here is a 5-year extension.
Actually, you know what would be interesting, and I don't know how this would work with him being a free agent at the end of the year, so I don't know if you could even do this. If you were really confident that Bridgewater was back, and I was watching, speaking of, you know, going down and interviewing Mike Zimmer down in Kentucky, Channel 5 went down there sometime in the last few weeks, and Joe Schmidt asked Mike Zimmer about Teddy Bridgewater, and Mike Zimmer thinks that Teddy Bridgewater could be back sometime this year. If you could somehow land like a first or second round pick for a really good Sam Bradford and then just roll with Bridgewater's cheaper contract going forward. But I don't know how that, I don't think that would happen because
you can't trade him though.
You wouldn't be able to trade him until after the season anyways, because you're not going to trade your starting quarterback.
Correct.
And he'd be a free agent. So,
correct.
If we look back and Bradford has a big year and you're talking about a top 5 defense and your coach is healthy all season, that's for sure a playoff team to me. That's a team that wins 10 or 11 games and has a chance to make some noise in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But those are all pretty big ifs. Those are all
the season will have officially busted if we are talking about Teddy potentially being the quarterback next year and about the Vikings not exercising their option on Barr, because they picked up the 5th year. It's guaranteed for injury, but it's not. But if they decide, you know what, he's not good, if they are talking about Bridgewater being the quarterback in 2018 and Anthony Barr being cut, the season is completely busted. And if that happens, you are potentially looking at changes.
I feel like part of you wants that to happen.
No, I don't. No.
Like dark rain cloud.
You know what? No. Coaching searches, I've seen enough. I actually want this team to have stability.
We've got some teams set up right now. You know,
it would be fun.
Twins are set up. The Wolves are definitely. The Wolves are trying to figure out if they want to trade Wiggins for Kyrie, for God's sakes, and create a Western Conference super team. And the Vikings are sort of set up, maybe not for Patriots or Packers, you know, top end of the NFL success, but they're set up to be decent for a while if they can keep things together. So, you know what we should do? We should unveil our Mr. Mankato picks when we come back.
Okay, let's do
it. It's time. The Vikings are going to be practicing here in about 20 minutes, a walkthrough down to Mankato. We're going to be down to Mankato Thursday and Friday at Weggie's, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week at Weggie's on campus. It's up. There's a big strip mall full of restaurants and different things, and it's pretty much right in the middle of that if you're unfamiliar. But it's been our broadcast place for the last couple of years, and you can find us down there. Matthew Collar is covering every day at training camp, 1500ESPN.com, and we will make, and I believe the reigning, defending, three-time correct predictor of Mr. Mankato.
No one loves himself like him.
The Mr. Mankato whisperer, Ben Gessling, from ESPN. Well, not even ESPN.com anymore. He's officially at the Star Tribune now.
No, he's still doing. No, he's still ESPN for the first week, and then he switches to Star Tribune.
Okay, so that'll be weird. But he's going to join us, and we're going to make predictions when we come back. Mackie and Judd.
Mackie and Judd will return shortly.
When?
Shortly on 1500 ESPN.
Mr. Mankato.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to get Ben Gessling, the Mr. Mankato whisperer, on the phone here.
Just ask him.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll tell you all about it.
He needs to calm down just a little bit with some of the... Like, how many times has he dislocated his shoulder patting himself on the back? Can he even lift his arms up high anymore?
We have. I think it's very safe to say that this show created a monster.
Yeah,
you know, when Gessling started with us, he was sort of understated, I always thought, and very respectful. We have created a monster.
Yeah, it is. It's too bad. But at this point, you know, he's a valuable part of our show, and he's probably going to tell us exactly who Mr. Mankato is going to be. So my guess is he's not listening because I think he's standing on the practice field right now. So the three of us will make our predictions.
All right.
We have our committee is expanding too. We're including at least a couple listeners. Mm-hmm. Just to get a full flavor of opinion here. So loyal listener Justin in Rochester, he's going to be on the Mr. Mankato committee this year, and he has submitted Bucky Hodges as the first pick for Mr. Mankato. And if you're unfamiliar, if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we have for the past 3 years, and then going back retroactively, we have crowned under-the-radar performers at Vikings training camp. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, last year I believe was Jayron Kearse. Right, yeah, Jayron Kearse, the safety.
Yes.
Was Mr. Mankato last year.
He was.
And we're looking to make it more fun, to spice things up and give you, instead of just watching practice and 7-on-7 drills and preseason games, it's kind of fun when you put some stakes in it, or at least have predictions and stuff. So there's a Mr. Mankato Twitter account, at Mr. Mankato Vikes, and we're using the hashtag Mr. Mankato. If you're down there and you see some of these guys, Rodney Adams, third round pick or later, mm-hmm. undrafted, mm-hmm. and non-established NFL players. So Chris Long is the resident odds maker, and he came in with Rodney Adams as a 2-1 favorite, Bucky Hodges 3-1, Stacy Coley 3-1, Jahlil Johnson 6-1, Elijah Lee 8-1, and Mobo 10-1, and so on and so forth. So before we get to Ben Gessling, who's on hold right now, the three of us, let's make our predictions, and then we can chat with Ben. Judd, you want to fire away first?
Yes, I will. Okay. While my temptation, obviously, was to go with a guy like Bucky Hodges, I don't feel that's lots of fun. So I am going to drop all the way down to the 8-1 favorite, and I'm going to take linebacker Elijah Lee. Elijah Lee, who I will put on the Adi Cole potential path. One huge preseason game. Lots of ability to, can I say it, flash in Mankato.
Wow.
We should preseason tackles.
We should have a kangaroo court system for like.
I love the term
training
flash.
Camp football terminology.
I love the term flash. It's
flash
great.
And flash, yes. Need to be part of the. It's like a dollar for every time you use one of those words.
I'll be broke by the end of training camp. I am going with 8-1 favorite linebacker Elijah Lee for my Mr. Mankato pick for 2017. David.
All right, Dave.
Well, he was on very near the top of my board, but since you selected him, Judd, I'm going to move elsewhere. If there was actual money on this, I would absolutely be all in on Pat Elflein as a 30-1, but I can't pull the trigger.
You could parlay.
I can't do it.
How about an exacta box?
I think about it. I can't pull the trigger on an interior offensive lineman. There's just too much going against him. So I will go with a favorite only because he's a wide receiver, and we love wide receivers. 2 out of the last 3 years, they have taken home Mr. Mankato. But it will not be the 2-1. Instead, it will be a 3-1 shot. Stacy Coley will be my selection.
Nice.
Stacy Coley, another guy with speed, maybe a little return game possibilities. I see good things from Mr. Coley.
Can he flash?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
big
yeah.
catch radius, all that good stuff.
I love Chris Long's write-up here. Sounds like character and drive are his only drawbacks as a long-term prospect. That doesn't really matter for Mr. Mankato, he said.
Not at all.
Seventh-round pick and one prospect preview. I saw tabbed him as a third-round talent. Oh. All right, I'm not going to overthink this like I've done the last couple years. Actually, no, did I go? No, I went with the linebacker last year, Kentrell Brothers, and I regret that decision.
Yes, you did.
I'm not going to overthink this. Bucky Hodges is my pick for Mr. Mankato.
You've been on him for a while.
The flow, the size, there's snaps to be had.
The name.
At tight end. His name.
The name is perfect.
Everything adds up. Bucky Hodges is my Mr. Mankato pick. Let's bring in Mr. Mankato Whisperer himself, Ben Gessling, currently ESPN.com, soon to be Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Have you dislocated your shoulders patting yourself on the back yet, Ben?
No, but I'm very disappointed I didn't get the walk-up music I requested.
Oh, shoot.
That's Harrigan. He's sick today. Give him a big break on that, Ben.
All right, fine. I'll let it go.
Ben, who's your pick for Mr. Mankato 2017 and why?
Well, I want to preface this by saying, as I go for the Mr. Mankato Grand Slam here 4 years in a row, I'm already under some strife from the haters. Andrew Kramer, who I was just on the phone with, is complaining that if I take Rodney Adams... Oh, there we go. Hang on. I'll let this play out. The champ is here! The champ is
here! The champ is here! Well, this is really obnoxious.
We could have forgotten about it, Dave, altogether.
It's really obnoxious.
Sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
It seems fitting. So Kramer is already on my case, saying you can't pick Rodney Adams, because Kramer is saying he's going to pick Rodney Adams. And I thought about it. It's just not a whole lot of fun when Kramer and I have the same guy. Because winning this thing, as I do every year, is fun, but winning it with a guy that Kramer didn't pick so I can rub it in his face is even more fun. And now that I'm going to be sitting next to him all year, I can rub it in his face even more. So I will not pick Rodney Adams, just so that I don't have to hear the whining when he and I take the same guy. I am with Phil. I'm with you. I'm taking Bucky Hodges.
Attaboy.
Three yeah. Bucky Hodges.
No,
picks.
No need to overthink it. Now on the Rodney Adams front, before we get your Bucky Hodges thought, you realize now that you're going to have training camp influence at ESPN.com, and at you're going to have influence over multiple major media platforms. You could pump negative Rodney Adams propaganda all across the Viking sphere.
You know, I mean, here again, these allegations that I would do anything other than weigh this objectively and make an impartial pick are just beyond the pale. I mean, I never approach this competition with anything other than the highest integrity, the highest standard for viewing Mr. Mankato through the most unfiltered prism that I possibly can.
Okay.
These allegations of Kramer saying I'm running a shadow government, he claims last year J. Ron Curse is not a valid victory. You know, it's a lot of sour grapes coming from Andrew Kramer. But
in retrospect, J-Ron Curse had chances to take over major key positions for the Vikings and failed. So maybe his performance in training camp was overstated.
He was legit, Gessling. It was legit. Much yeah, I hate to say it.
You know, it was, as I just told him when he was calling to complain, it was not my most impressive victory. It was like a scrambling 4-under to win by a shot at the British Open, battling for wins. And it was a tiger at Pebble Beach in 2000, like the previous 2 years were. But, the trophies all look the same on my shelf at home.
Of course they do. So why Bucky Hodges? What do you like about Bucky Hodges besides the lion mane and the name itself?
Well, I think he's the kind of guy he's the kind of guy the Vikings were looking for when they tried to get Jared Cook. They wanted a tight end that can do some things over the middle of the field. They wanted a deep threat over the middle of the field. And I think he's going to get every chance to be that guy. I mean, whether he can do it right away and be a big part of the offense right away, we'll see. But he's certainly going to get opportunities to flash and or splash in Mankato.
Very
and
nice.
We'll get a chance to see in the preseason if he can do that in games as well. Now, I mean, Rodney Adams, just to put this out there now, I mean, everybody's going to get all excited about the kick returns. And we're all going to get all fired up when he takes one back 90 yards for a touchdown against somebody's third-string kick return unit. My charge now would be, let's not focus on the big circus moments. Let's focus on the total body of work through this whole thing. I mean, this is coming from a guy that, for the second year in a row, is not picking a wide receiver. I mean, this charge that I just pick wide receivers now can't be accurate anymore because I've now 2 years in a row not taken a receiver. So let's focus on the thorough body of work and not just get sidetracked by a couple of...
Yeah, we need blocking drills to be documented.
Gessling, what are you talking about? What fun is that? Come on. This whole thing is based on the fact that if you make a good play, we all get excited.
Well, sure it is, but when I'm not taking Rodney Adams, I...
Uh-huh, this I'm is, yeah. Trying, I'm, yes.
I'm,
The agenda has.
I'm just trying to make sure. I'm trying to prevent others from influencing it on a couple of carnival moments.
The Ben Gessling agenda already is being set.
I am shocked and offended by that allegation, Judd.
I heard there's character issues already with Rodney Adams. I don't know. I heard that there was some battling over the community bathroom.
There might be some people in the studio, too. Who knows?
Yeah. So there it is.
Lots of things to worry about with Rodney Adams. Bucky Hodge is, resume is clean. Nothing to see but positivity there.
Top-notch personality. All right, so absolutely. And I are on the right side with Bucky Hodges and... we'll see what Matthew Collar thinks later, and we'll see if we can get Andrew Kramer on. So there it is. All right, Ben, looking to go 4-for-4 in Mr. Mankato.
Mr. Mankato slam.
All right, bye.
See you Thursday, Gessling. Bye.
Let's get this thing trending.
Uh-huh.
He'd be the youngest Mr. Mankato slam winner ever, right? It's never happened before.
No, it's never happened before. Already setting his agenda. That's what I like about him.
That's amazing.
Oh, it really is.
Dave, what kind of stuff do you have for us next?
We have a wonderful version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game from Wrigley Field over the weekend. We've got bombs in Florida. And here's a scenario for a Kyrie Irving trade you might want to hear.
Okay.
The Mackey and Judd Show will continue in a moment. On 1500 ESPN.
Nope, wrong one.
And now, here's stuff you should know
about. There goes the no-hitter. There goes the no-hitter.
Sports today that will make your brain fall out of your skull.
You know, you'd think it would have a better name than that with that kind of teaser.
Stuff you should know about. Here's Dave Harrigan.
I want to know.
All right, Dave Harrigan.
I couldn't help myself. I was just so excited. And you doubted him.
It's not what I think it is.
You doubted him. He did it again.
Did Tebow hit another home run?
He did it again.
Walk off again?
What's he hitting right now for high A?
With the St. Lucie Mets. That was his fourth bomb in 25 games since being called up to the high A level. He's now hitting 317 over those 25. Four home runs, 15 RBIs. 947 is the OPS.
Wow. Has he stolen a base?
Call him up. I don't care. Steal bases when everything you hit goes over the wall.
When you're trotting all the time. Yeah, you're right. I'm in on Tim Tebow now.
How could you not be?
So if if he can get to double A, let's say they'll probably put him in double A in August, right? So he'll finish the season in double A. If he can hit anything above 250 at double A, they call him up in September for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Now they got to find a 40-man roster spot for him, but
that's not going to be too tough for the Mets to find that.
No,
number of people you can cut. Speaking of the good old ball game, good old ball game being played at Wrigley Field this weekend. The Cubs were at home and they invited none other than Ice Cube, rapper / founder of the Big Three Basketball League, to do his best Harry Carey impression and give us a little take me out to the ball game at the seventh inning stretch. Would you like to hear Cube?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Hello, Chicago. Help me with this.
Okay.
One, two.
Good thing he made his living rapping.
I was going to say, yeah.
That was perfectly awful.
Tone-deaf mic man there. But yes, rapping doesn't require tone or melody.
Ditka, though, right? Didn't Ditka do the same thing where he started off and he just overwhelms the entire song and goes as quick as he can through the whole thing?
He's got the absolute classic. Him and a couple others. Andrew Chafin, you familiar with him, pitcher Arizona Diamondbacks?
Is that a nickname?
That's very funny. It is not. It's actually his given last name, okay. Phil.
I was not.
Smarty Pants.
Easy endorsement opportunity there.
Well,
Johnson and Johnson.
I was going Gold Bond, but Johnson and Johnson work too. Depending on what you
I prefer Johnson and Johnson, but, it's a little softer to the... Go ahead.
Anyway.
Yep, go ahead.
He was mic'd up over the weekend. They like to play these things. They mic him up during the pregame. Then, hey, we got a lull in the game, third, fifth inning, whatever it is. Let's hear what Andrew Chafin had to say earlier. Well, anyone interested in a truck?
Anybody
is interested in a truck. I got a 2012 GMC Sierra 3500 HD Denali with a fully built twin turbo, a fully built Allison transmission for sale. Just shoot me a tweet if you are interested. Hint. Thank you. Please put that on there for me. I'm really trying to sell this.
Wait, so, okay. Explain this again. So this was, what was the context of that interview?
It was not an interview. This was just pregame during BP.
Oh, I got you.
Hanging out in the outfield.
Yeah.
He knew they'd be playing it during the broadcast. So, hey, what the hell? I got a truck for sale. Anyone
want to
buy it?
Smart, product.
That's pretty
funny.
I like
it.
Yeah. We should do that around here. Now we got a mid-morning show to sell. Anyone want to sponsor Judd? Anybody
don't tempt Dave.
Judd's here for endorsements. Anybody?
Don't tempt Dave. He might do it.
There was also this moment. A little while later, he was having a conversation with a couple of the same guys, as well as manager Torrey Lovello.
Life or death, you couldn't take a bunny, rip its fur off, squeeze the guts out, throw it over fire. Life or death. You're either going to live or the bunny's going to live. If for whatever reason that does happen and you do in that situation, don't kill it and let it lay for 10 hours in Arizona. It's going to be the most gut-stinking little thing you've ever had. As soon as you get it, gut it.
Okay.
You got to gut it right away.
It's the smell.
Yeah, or just hang out with me and Godley and you'll be fine.
I love this guy. You know what? Mic'd up, that is the greatest. If you're going to be mic'd up, have fun with it.
All right, let's have fun with Kyrie Irving and possible trades to the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Big Lead compiled 9 of their favorite trade scenarios as people have put forth on the ESPN NBA trade machine. Everyone's been doing it the last couple days, ever since the Kyrie rumors came out.
Someone floated one to me that didn't include Wiggins yesterday. It was like Gorgie and the contract of Cole Aldrich and like Tyus Jones.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So the salaries match. You're right.
Yeah.
The salaries do match. That is correct.
Yeah, that's nearly nailed the one I have
here. Oh, no.
This is their number 2 favorite trade scenario.
Oh, my God.
And yes, according to the trade machine, this trade is successful. It is a 3-team deal, boys, involving the Cavaliers, the Wolves, and the Spurs. The Wolves would be getting Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
The San Antonio Spurs would be getting Gorgui Dieng. The Cavaliers from Minnesota would be getting Adrian Payne, and from San Antonio, Danny Green. This has to get done.
So the Wolves would give up
Adrian Payne and Gorgie.
And Gorgie.
For Kyrie.
What
yeah.
And that's the number 2 trade?
That's
could
their
you imagine?
Favorite, yes.
Can you imagine the Cavs being like, okay,
hopefully Glenn Taylor is into luxury tax payments, maybe even higher than anyone's ever paid in about 4 or 5 years. I mean, if that can happen, I guess you wouldn't turn it down. Sorry, Jeff Teague, you're a point guard off the bench for $20 million. But a
lot of dope smoke before that was put in the trade tracker.
Why can't you dream, Judd?
I can, just not that much.
Oh, okay.
That's a little bit much.
Buzzkill.
Sorry.
I saw this being tweeted about all weekend. ESPN showing beanbag tournament, cornhole as they call it.
I watched over an hour of that over the weekend. Not
straight
kidding.
Or
no straight. I got hooked into it and watched the doubles competition, and then there was like a junior competition, and then a couple different singles.
Was this on Saturday or when?
This was on Saturday, and it was on ESPN2, I believe.
It was on the Deuce.
Yes.
Really? And you watched
it? And then they switched over to ESPN3 after a while, but yes.
You had that little to do this weekend.
I was busy the whole weekend except for that hour. I was sitting on the couch, sipping a cocktail. Law and Order's always on.
I was watching, it was great.
Well, did you see the interview with the champion, whatever the hell his name is, Phil?
Well, there was different divisions, so I don't know if I...
I think this was the solo male division, whatever we call that.
I don't know if I saw that one.
The key to good cornholing, boys. A lot deeper than you might think it is.
Okay.
Hey, James, good win. Have any strategy going into that game? Just put a bag in the hole, man. Just put the bag in the hole every time. Players out here, you got to put the bag in the hole every time. Hey, good win. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Put the bag in the hole.
He breaks out the cliches for that?
It is pretty ridiculous. So you guys, I'm assuming you've played cornhole in your lives, right?
A lot of cornhole.
Okay. And I used to fancy myself as a pretty good, enter these like local bar competitions and play pretty well.
Yeah.
These guys are putting the bag in the hole every single time, like pretty much whenever they want. And then what'll happen is if someone misses, it's always like hanging half over. And then somebody else may not want to put them both in. So then they'll start layering around the cornhole. And then at the end, it's pretty much just, does somebody want to throw one in? And then all six that are laying on the, it's not even really that fun to watch.
And you
it's a good thing I
this?
Had like three cocktails during the time I was.
An hour of
I was
this?
A little buzzed, maybe.
Okay. Do we have a standard distance,
a little more?
Distance they're throwing from? Do you know?
Further than like most people. I don't know what the exact distance was, but they were talking about these bags they were using had a different tack on one side. So there's one side that was a little stickier and one that was more the fabric side. And so their strategy, like when do you want to throw? If you want one to stick on the board, you'd use the more tack side.
Like a pine tar.
We're not talking, well, not full pine tar, but just a little tackier.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Now, what's the word? Fundamentals here. Are we throwing kind of frisbee-like so that you get that side
down?
I
saw different ones. I saw one guy who threw it like an anvil, like those little anvil, those anvil things with handles that you find in your gym that I never use.
Kettlebell, yeah.
Kettlebell, yeah. And one guy was going full between the legs and then kind of motioning up. Yeah. Not very accurate. His wife was more of the throw it like a frisbee and
it's a family
get some spin.
It's a family cornhole.
There was a father-son combination.
Everybody cornhole.
Actually, there was a father-son combination, and they were bawling at the end of it. They won together, and it was like the family dream to win the doubles competition. And they were crying, and
this was their moment.
It was very emotional. Yep. And they won $10,000. There's $10,000 I think it's $20,000 for the open singles competition.
This is very heavy. This is heavy stuff. Sorry I missed it.
I want to play it again.
Hey, James, good win. Have any strategy going into that game? Just put a bag in the hole, man. Just put the bag in the hole every time. I have the players out here. You got to put the bag in the hole every time. Hey, good win. Appreciate it.
It might be my new favorite. Can we save that clip, please?
I think put the bag in a hole, man. Bag in a hole. We used to do people are idiots. Everyone used to do that.
We can still do that, yeah.
Well, this is kind of a people are idiots. Shark Week started yesterday. Everyone loves Shark Week. Do you know what kicked off Shark Week?
Yes, I do.
Phelps versus the great white.
He was going to race a great white shark,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Is anyone surprised? I shouldn't say is anyone, because a lot of people are surprised he did not literally race a great white shark, that they CGI'd the shark.
Oh, they did.
Like
okay.
They were going to put so Michael Phelps in a body of water with a great white bleeping shark.
It wasn't
and say,
a real
go
shark? Oh, that's no fun.
I thought maybe they were going to have, I don't know how they were going to do this, but somehow divide out one part of the water and then he would be swimming on one side. But yeah, you'd have to have a pretty, pretty deep like piece of glass to make that happen.
Well, not only that, are you going to say, hey, great whitey, go that way.
Right. No, man, no, I'm not doing it.
All right, and go.
Right, exactly. Like you'd have to have Michael Phelps racing in front of the great white, and the inspiration to go in one direction for the great white would be Michael Phelps, right?
I've just seen a lot of tweets this morning, a lot of stories about how people were outraged last night when they tuned in to see Phelps race the shark. And oh, wait, it was scientists who figured out how fast a shark could actually
That's
swim.
That's not nearly as much fun, though.
And CGI'd it.
You know what? Next year, Phelps v. Shark.
Oh, and by the way,
let's make it happen.
The shark is faster than a human being can swim.
How do we know that, though?
Well, we're pretty sure.
Okay, well, I want to see it next year. For the sake of the craft, I want Phelps to race the shark for real next year.
Now, he's retired. Maybe you want to swim.
No, I'd lose.
Anything for ratings.
And then I'd lose my... Yeah, you know what? That's not a bad
Actually,
point.
If Judd took on that mindset, then we might have
Yeah, come on, shark. Here. Bring it on. I'm gritty.
We got to get back. I just got in my inbox, I just got like a 500-word email from Scott Korsanowski. It's entitled Wiggy for Kyrie. So I want to read this during the break, and we got to get back to the Kyrie rumors, and would you trade Andrew Wiggins for him? We've got a Facebook poll up, Twitter poll. Hector Santiago on Twins, and also let's get into that David Price story with him at 11:30 as well. And Matthew Collar from training camp at 12:15, Mackie and Judd.
Mackie and Judd Show will continue in a moment.
This is ridiculous.
What are we going to do?
On 1500 ESPN.
If I'm forced to go to Brits, I guess I will. I mean, if I have to.
Is that tomorrow, you said?
Yes,
sir. Nice.
Yeah, if I absolutely have to go to Brits tomorrow night, I guess I'll go. Hmm. I'll suck it up for the team and go. I mean, it's so difficult.
I guess if I have to drink a couple pints of beer,
it's
five,
so
six
difficult
pints
for
of beer.
Me to head my car downtown and go to Brits, but I'll do it if I have to.
Force you to grab an app, maybe. Boo.
I guess if I have to have a couple orders of the Scotch eggs that are amazing. And
oh, the tacos. Their tacos are great. Those fish tacos they have are so good.
Hey, we haven't really talked any Twins yet, and we will dive into trade deadline stuff with Derek Wetmore in the noon hour. But what was the I didn't make it out for any of the 87 reunion stuff this weekend. That's kind of in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
What was all that like this weekend?
I didn't go on Friday. I went Saturday, and they had an extensive pregame ceremony that night. It was nice. It was real nice. Viola gave a, not a long speech, but he gave a speech that was cool. And basically at one point looked in the dugout for the Twins and said, "You guys don't know who the hell we are for the most part."
Did he say that on
but
microphone?
You've got a, yes. Okay. But you've got a chance here. It's cool. I mean, they do it so much now because it seems like, you know, basically, the 5 years, they seem to do it now, and then the 10. But that being said, it was fun. It was, now, yesterday's game, though, my God, time of game on that, 4 hours, 19 minutes,
yeah,
a record
aggressive.
For the longest. 1 year, so a year ago yesterday, the Twins played the Red Sox in Boston, and I think went 4-11 or so. Longest nine-inning game in team history until yesterday.
Yeah.
That thing never ended yesterday, and it wasn't a good game.
And then you had the pregame. No, that was the pregame ceremony leaked into the start time Saturday, so I'm mixing up my days. But just back to what Viola said, yeah, there are a lot of interestingly similar qualities when you compare the 1987 team that nobody thought going into that year, right, that team was going to contend. I mean, at what point during that season did people really start to think legitimately, whoa, okay.
Oh, as far as how they contended, yeah, probably, I don't even know, July maybe of that year?
Okay.
But the thing about that year was the splits for home and road were so drastic that you always kept saying to yourself, well, somewhere along the way, they're probably not going to win the division based on the fact that they can't win on the road.
But isn't, and they had the opposite split earlier this year. They've been a little better at home recently. So is it possible that the home-road split skepticism and discrepancy in 1987 is sort of like the run differential discrepancy now, which is, I think, more predictive than home-road split?
Sure.
But people are looking at this and saying, it just doesn't, they're in contention, but it just doesn't look or feel like contention. And they can go a long way. If they were to get swept out and outscored by 20 runs in this three-game series against the Dodgers, I think it might even push the front office into sell mode.
To say, yeah.
It's very possible if they look, because they just lost 2-3 from a white flag-waving Tigers team.
Not that good.
And they didn't face Justin Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to run out Bartolo Colon again tonight. And let's face it, objectively, it's fun to watch Bartolo, but objectively against that lineup, there's a good chance he gets completely
and the
rocked.
Garcia trade fell through now, too. So.
Yeah, so you don't, now you're running out. Now, Gibson had a good start, but I'm not trusting him yet. This is the baseball is not a sport that you can boil down to like one game or 1 week and then draw grandiose conclusions. But when you're on the fence and trying to figure out what to do, and you've got one of the top teams in baseball staring at you for the next 3 days, and the trade deadline is a week from today, this small sample size means a lot. I mean, you can't lose five in a row leading up to the trade deadline and then still expect to go get some pieces to make a push down the stretch.
So if somebody comes to them and the top line starting pitching candidates are gone, and somebody comes to them and makes them an offer for Santana that is really good, let's say it's two top prospects, do you do it? Because I'm not convinced these guys wouldn't. I don't think they would, but I'm not convinced that they wouldn't. If somebody comes and makes an offer that they deem to be, that they say, wow, I could see them making the trade.
I want, just to be clear, regardless of context, if I get two of a team's top 10 prospects for Irvin Santana, even if I sweep the Dodgers, I might pull the trigger on that
trade. But
that's
what I'm saying. Let's say that happens.
So another interesting wrinkle is Yu Darvish is the top rent-a-pitcher that could be available. Well, Texas is in the race. Texas is two games back of a wild card spot, and they have Cole Hamels under contract, and they're in a win-now window with a lot of their roster.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty likely that they hang on to Yu Darvish through the trade deadline and make a push for a wild card spot, and then he'd become a free agent, and so you'd lose him. You wouldn't be able to get something for him. You could make him the qualifying offer and get some draft pick compensation. But if Yu Darvish is no longer available, and if, you know, let's say Gerrit Cole is not being traded by the Pirates because he's got 2.5 years left, you take more and more options off the board, and the closer teams go down their list to Irvin Santana.
Yes.
So this is going to be a really interesting week for the Twins, for sure.
I could see these guys, though, if they get two top 10 prospects, which I don't think that they would, but let's just say it does happen, I could see them saying, we can't not make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be upset about it, but they've got a plan here. That's the thing is, I can't decide how much they would potentially deviate from that plan based on what's been a fun year, but is not the year, or to me, that close to being the year.
We're going to talk a lot more about trade scenarios. In fact, Derek Wetmore, in the wake of this Garcia trade falling through, actually has a list of other targets they could go after if they're going to be in buy mode. We'll do that at like 12:30. Let's get back to this Kyrie Irving conversation. Would you trade Andrew Wiggins for Kyrie Irving? We've got polls up on Facebook.com/1500ESPN. We'll take your feedback if you want to chime in. 651-646-8255.